Blog Talk Radio.
Benefiting your morning. It is Saturday, October 15th, 2016. I am your host, Brother Ben, from the battlefield city of La Crosse, Wisconsin. So last 2 days I missed. Sorry. Thursday, I think it was because I was getting the soup ready and I just lost track of time. And Friday, I had to get some money for the house for plasma, but I know, I wish I had the cell phone again. Sometimes it was helpful that I was able to do the show on the cell phone but right before doing that. But but we're gonna do our Bible study today. You know, I looked at the archive and I'm like, you know, we've only done 3 shows in the last few days, and the three shows ago was Elizabeth Elliot. So I'm not doing Elizabeth Elliot, even though we missed Thursday. We definitely need to do a Bible study. And one thing even though I wish I would have done those 2 shows, those two shows that I missed, I am glad that the Lord had pushed something on my heart recently that that I've been doing. I don't know what I would call it, but it's like a special kind of devotional that I've come up with where, you know, for the daytime I've been trying to, the mornings I've been trying to do the scripture. That's one reason why we have this show, after all, for those who are interested in hearing my open thoughts while I read scripture aloud. But nighttime, I read from multiple different believers on some of their writings, and it's very interesting, this collaboration of believers that so far, prior to last night, because I didn't really read that much, every time I've ever read from something from multiple believers, they're all from different time periods. You know, they've all said different things, like similar things, but they said different things as well. It's like as though I'm talking to them in a conversation. It's kind of weird. Like, one day I had 3 different believers, different writings that I read from. I think one was John Owen, the other was Oswald Chambers, and William Gurnall, and the 3 of them together, they said different things, but they said the same thing. Same kind of idea, like they're adding to the conversation. It was kind of weird but neat at the same time. You know, I had one conversation. I'm almost going to call them my conversations. I kind of like that. Even though I'm not actually talking to them, I realize that because that's spiritualism, I think that's called, where you ancestry worship or whatever. And I'm not advocating that, obviously, because that's not a Christian idea. That's more of a Eastern Chinese kind of idea, if I remember that right. But point being, you know, it's just crazy how impactful that's been the past couple of days, and I definitely want to continue that. I think the Lord's leading me to that being my nighttime devotional, because one conversation was about prayer, one conversation was about my marriage, and the other one recently was in regards to my inner believer life, you know, how to respond to work and how to respond to different flaws within myself. And it was very, very neat to be able to do that, you know, be able to do that nighttime devotional. I think we're going to have to continue that direction. Learn a lot from different people. You know, I've been trying to bounce around John Owen, Smith Wigglesworth, who I've heard good and bad things about. I got this book a while back from him, though, and William Gurnall, and even a Charles Spurgeon book somebody gave to me recently. It's actually pretty neat. I think I actually did a little bit of a David Platt book, too, recently. Although that one I did when I was donating plasma, but you get what I'm trying to say. Anyway, anyway, I think that's enough. I think that's enough rambling. I think we should get right straight back to the show. And for whatever reason, Blog Talk Radio is acting weird all of a sudden. I can't see the studio page anymore. I don't know why. Well, I'm still broadcasting. I haven't heard any problems from that yet. Okay, there we go. I have no idea why I was glitching there. I just needed to make sure I was actually broadcasting, which, thank the Lord, I am. Maybe it was just a glitch with my internet or something, but anyway, we're going to do a study on Book of Mark. Yes, let's do the Book of Mark. According to my notes, we should do Book of Mark, chapters 13 and 14, at least as much of that as possible. And chat room's not working on Blog Talk Radio, that's okay. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, prayer requests, any of that stuff, feel free to either email me at beneficialministries@gmail.com or check me out on Facebook or Twitter. I can't talk to you in the chat room for whatever reason. It's glitching right now, sorry. As much as I'd like to be able to. Although I haven't seen anybody in the chat room in a long time, but, you know, some people are new to the show might be like, oh, I want to have a chat with Ben. Well, you can't. But okay. Chapters 13 and 14, we're going to go to the Book of Mark. Which, interestingly enough, the Book of Mark is 16 chapters long, so we're getting close to the time that Jesus is being crucified here. Because 15 and 16, I believe, is where he will eventually be crucified, and then when he raises from the dead, and yeah. Okay. I just spilled coffee myself. Oh, that's okay. It's lukewarm. Well, that's my favorite shirt. Hopefully it doesn't stain my Walker family reunion shirt. For any Walkers listening right now, I'm wearing the shirt as I broadcast on the air. That was like Kelsey Grammer. Random whisper in my voice. That's funny. Okay. All right. Enough wasting time. And as Jesus went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. So they're marveling in Jerusalem at these fine buildings. Something that I'm sure we would have easily been tempted to do as well, you know. And we probably do in this day and age as well. And well, Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So, in other words, he's saying, hey, don't marvel at these things, because they're not going to last forever. They're not nearly anything as special as anything that you can find in heaven. Now, he's not saying that we ought to have no admiration or respect or appreciation for anything in this life, but he's saying don't make that your primary focus. A building is going to, whether people like it or not, pass away. Or at least the way that the building is going to will change. And that's very true because, well, my home, the town I was born in, for an example, I wouldn't call it my hometown, but the town that I was born in, Wisconsin Rapids, has changed so much since I was a child. I mean, my parents had us move. Okay, Blog Talk Radio's down, apparently. Well, I'm still broadcasting. That's the important thing. This show better save or I'm going to be annoyed. Well, oh well. I shouldn't say annoyed, because even if it doesn't save on the page because it's acting weird, at the very least, I'm able to express myself aloud and ponder these things. But anyway, I moved in kindergarten, and so much has changed in that town. And let me ask you this, if, for those of you who are listening, think about what has changed in your life and your towns, whether it be your, you know, my instance, you know, the town you were born in, or whether it be the your hometown itself, if that's not one of the same. What things are the same and what things are different? What things you wish were still there and what things that you wish weren't? Very interesting to see. But anyway, Blog Talk Radio's back. Yay! I don't know what's going on with them. But Jesus is saying, even though those things are pretty neat, you know, some of those things in our towns that we wish were still there or wish that would go away, even though that's the case, those are not things we should be focusing on primarily. We should be focusing on things of heaven. Don't marvel like as though that they'll last forever. Don't marvel at these things because you'll risk getting in that carnal mind, that type of mentality that the devil wanted to tempt Jesus with. See all these kingdoms I have for you? That kind of mentality. Now, again, I'm not saying that we can't have an awe and appreciation for that kind of stuff, especially in the historical sense. We ought to have a historical understanding, after all, but we have to be careful of that. And as he sat down from the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall be delivered up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." Okay, so Jesus is talking about the last days here, and I think it's safe to say that there are some similarities going on with our time, but unfortunately, things have only just begun. At least when it comes to the United States' picture, in that in order for the things of Revelation to take place, I've said it once and I'll say it again, conditions in this country, heaven forbid, have to get much, much worse. And things have already gotten bad within my generation alone. You know, I'm going to be 30 coming up here in February. You know, within that time period alone, things have gotten pretty bad. And unfortunately, according to the Bible, things are going to get much, much worse before it gets better. But Jesus says, interestingly enough, where was it? I know I just read it a moment ago. Take heed. He says, take heed. And he also says, another thing that's important to note, that we're not to be discouraged. That's basically what I get when I say take heed. He's basically saying, do not worry about these things. Be ye not troubled, he says in verse 7. take heed, be careful, be aware of what's going on around you, but don't let it overwhelming your thoughts and be discouraged and be depressed and all that. Because that's how we are sometimes when we watch the news, isn't it? That's one reason why sometimes I can't go on Facebook, is because I hear people whining, complaining about stuff. You know, I posted, for those of you who are Facebook followers, a video of this one lady swearing up a storm because she got pulled over by a cop, and that she was like, oh, it was my First Amendment right to flip somebody off because they're a Donald Trump supporter, and I think they're a racist, blah, 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 and he got after me in his car. Now, I don't think it's appropriate for somebody to chase after somebody in a car, but just that type of hate that's from that woman in that video, if you have the stomach to swallow that video, is exactly why politics are a nasty business and exactly why we can't be too upset or serious about what's going on, according to Jesus. Because if we get obsessed with the idea, as he's talking about here, about wars, rumors of wars, about these natural disasters, you know, like earthquakes and famines, and, well, in my area's case, flooding, or in Louisiana's case, flooding. They've got flooding, too. You know, and all sorts of other things. And if we're concerned about how the world, how our rulers, as the King James would put it, are starting to be even more anti-Christian in recent years, then we're just going to be depressed, or we're going to be bitter and angry. And the Lord doesn't want us to be that way, partially because we're hurting the cause of Christ when we're that way, but also because it makes us depressed. It doesn't give us joy, and we don't see the big picture in mind that the Lord is in control of all these things going on right now. He knows what's going on. He's not powerless against this. And the gospel must be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Okay, so if we're in a time that is where we're getting in, where we're being put before rulers, where we're like in court or something, or we're imprisoned, right now this is just a Middle Eastern kind of thing, or a Eastern world kind of thing. But someday this will be here in America, where we have a more serious persecution. But Jesus is saying when that persecution comes, we're not supposed to try to rely upon our intellect to get us out of trouble. We're not supposed to try to think of this persuasive speech essay in order to win the situation. We're supposed to appeal to the Lord for help. And the Holy Spirit will give us that that what we need. I think that's one of my problems that the Lord's been trying to tell me, is that I think that I'm tempted to think that I need, in order to have a so-called successful ministry, that I just need to get smarter. And yet, that's the satanic temptation, because that's what the devil wanted me to think when I was younger. Oh, you're not getting this because you're just not smart enough, or you're not successful enough because this isn't happening, and you're not cool enough, and you're not this, and you're not that, and every good thing that I can possibly say is by grace. My wife's in my life because of grace. My son's in my life because of grace. Our home we have because of grace. Everything is part of grace. At least for my life it is. And Jesus has been teaching me within recent years, you need to just face it. That's how your life's going to be. I am going to progress you in different ways, but you have to stop thinking that you have to earn anything. You can't. You make it worse sometimes when you do. And imagine if we during that trial time, tried to rely upon our knowledge rather than rely upon God, we're going to stutter, we're going to be afraid, we're not going to be a good testimony. You know, even if, in regards to some of these situations, even if we had the most persuasive of speeches, if a person doesn't want to hear it, they're not going to hear it. At the very least, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, He'll give us what we need to say. And He'll give us the conduct that we're supposed to have too. And even if they don't listen to that, that means they're not, it's not because you suck as a speaker at that point. It's because they're not listening to God. And that's a judgment against them that you're unbeknowingly putting upon them. What the Lord wants you to do as a work there in that particular circumstance, situation. None of this we're supposed to be discouraged about. Take heed, be careful of these times. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Oh boy, do we have those times right now, where family is no longer sacred, and that they're willing to do anything to get themselves in trouble or whatever. That's a sad and yet very truthful thing, and it's going to get worse, according to Christ. They'll want to put each other to death. Literally, that's I know I laugh, but that's sadly true. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, namesake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's one thing to be encouraged of. Even though that you might have people hating you because of your witness for Christ, you're doing exactly what you need to do. But keep in mind, there's a difference between serving the Lord and being hated for it, and serving what you think is the Lord, but is for your own hateful, sinful self, thinking it's of the Lord, but it's really not, that you're being a bad witness. Just be careful of that, because there's people like the Westboro who probably quote that passage, thinking, oh yeah, we're doing a good job, people are hating us, and that's exactly what the Lord said would happen. No, you're being hated because you're hating people and not showing the love and care for the cause of Christ. At least in some Christian, at least when it comes to Christians not liking you. The unsaved world have their own various reasons, but anyway. But ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing where it ought not. Let him that readeth understandeth. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. According to Daniel, this is talking about the Antichrist. Daniel 9:27, my footnotes say, it's referring to, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, so this isn't going to happen for a while, because causing sacrifices to cease, that requires the temple to be rebuilt officially. The temple in Jerusalem has yet to be rebuilt. They're talking about rebuilding it right now. I've heard reports about that. They're talking about rebuilding the temple. But it hasn't happened yet. And once that happens, they'll be doing these animal sacrifices, and I'm sure PETA's not going to like that very much, but you know, they will do animal sacrifices, just like in the Old Testament Jewish days. But the Antichrist, when he's in power, is going to have, during his moment of peace, so-called peace, a week where no sacrifices are done. And that's when the Lord's basically saying, flee to the mountains. You know, you need to be very careful because something bad's going to go down shortly around that time. Very interesting. And let him that is on the housetop not go down to his house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is on the field not turn back for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, to give, and to them that give suck in those days, who have to nurse their children. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. So Jesus doesn't even know if it's what season it's going to be, or either that, or he's saying in regards to your part of the globe might be winter time. And I'm saying, and there's nothing wrong with me saying that Jesus might not know what season it is, because Jesus says no one knows the day or nor the hour, not even the Son, but only God the Father, he says at one point. So this type of event, when it happens, is from God exclusively. Jesus, as the Son, at this time, did not know when this would eventually, which, when this would in particular happen. But he knows it's going to happen. And it's one of those things that God is withholding from us when specifically it will happen. But we should be ready for something like this. And pray, for though in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, hath shortened the days. And then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, here he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold all these things, you all things. Okay, so, in particular, there are going to be people who are not just saying, oh, I'm God, I am the Christ, but they're also going to try to prove it to you with different signs from heaven. And we should be careful of that. Because some of the signs are going to be very convincing, but they're not going to be real. They're not going to actually be Jesus. So we have to be very careful of that. But in those days after tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. So this is when the Son of Man comes. Jesus. Again, this is the second coming at this point in time. So, it almost seems to hint to me, based on reading this, that this is kind of a post-tribulation kind of picture. Because, maybe I'm just reading this wrong, but if it was pre-tribulation, then why is Christ warning about people who have to flee to mountains? Why is he warning about people who have to hide in the mountains and have to be careful of a false Christ trying to deceive them and whatever? Let alone, why would we even need to flee if it was pre-tribulation? That's just interesting little thought there. And in particular, that that Christ comes back at that point. Maybe I'm misreading that, but it just seems more to hint to me a post-tribulation rapture kind of picture here I'm getting. But I think it's important, even if you're able to come up with a rebuttal, if you're one of those pre-tribulation rapture people, because I've been on the fence, but I'm kind of leaning more towards post-tribulation after reading this. However, pre-trib, post-trib is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is we should be ready for the times. We should be ready to be witnesses for Christ, and we should not be discouraged by the seasons that are taking place. That's what I'm getting here, at the very least. You can get out of that, even if you disagree with me thinking that
it's more of a post-trib revelation, post-trib rapture picture I'm getting here. But I'm going to stop there. There's a lot that we could study here, but that's all the time that we're going to do for today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, Lord willing, that we have a show. When we look at the book of, let me take a look at here. When we look at the book of 2 Corinthians, we're going to read chapters 4 and 5, at least as much of that as possible. I know I didn't even finish all of Mark 13, but there's a lot of stuff that we talked about here. And it's important to be aware of those times. Very interesting times that we live in. Thank you so much for listening. God bless. And, till then, next time.